are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today, I'd like to spend the episode talking about actually the most recent episode of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network and the Locked On NBA Network. They spent the entire podcast talking about all of the Delete 8 teams, or the 8 teams, of course, not in Orlando, for the restart that kicks off next week. I believe Delete 8 was actually coined by John Hollinger in his writings over at The Athletic, so he absolutely has the right to call it that. So they spend about 8 minutes or so on each of the 8 teams from the Delete 8. Of course, that includes the Timberwolves. So there's really an entire chunk of conversation about Minnesota from John Hollinger and Nate Duncan. So I'd like to play that entire clip, and then we'll spend the final segment of today's show reacting to their comments on the Timberwolves. So good to hear their analysis on Minnesota and their situation. First, before we get to that, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. So as always, off the top here, just a few quick Wolves notes, but I'm going to mention to be sure that you're plugged into Darren Wolfson of Score North, KSCP Channel 5 in the Twin Cities. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. He provides insight into workouts, especially prospects with local ties. We've talked about that before on this show. Most recently, that's included Nate Darling, an underclassman from Delaware, averaged 21 points a game last year at Delaware. Tyler Hagedorn from South Dakota, I think we talked about the other day, actually led the nation in three-point percentage, over 51%, a big man from the University of South Dakota. And then also Arizona's Zeke Nagy, who went to Hopkins. So three guys who have some sort of local ties, or at least close to local with South Dakota. Darren's always got those... he's got those contacts and got that information flowing. So those are all guys who certainly are not first round picks, probably not second round picks, at least not where the Wolves are going to pick early in the second round, but could be undrafted players that they look at. Always interesting to hear those names. Of course, I personally don't know a ton about any of them, but if there begins to be more chatter about each of those guys, then I think we'll certainly spend more time looking at them. But he's a good resource to follow as we inch a little bit closer to the draft. We're now just over a month away from the August 25th draft lottery. So we're going to start to plug back in as we get into August. We've taken a week plus off now from really heavily talking draft and kind of taking a more broad look at the Timberwolves here for the meantime. A couple of other quick NBA notes. The most recent testing of COVID-19 in the Orlando bubble, there was 346 players tested. Zero of them tested positive, is the report. Shams Charania of Yahoo, I believe, was the first one to have that information, or excuse me, of The Athletic. He used to be at Yahoo. And so that's great news. Certainly a positive sign. There's obviously a long ways to go. In fact, games don't actually start for another, 9 or 10 days, a week from Friday. So still got a ways to go, but certainly a positive development. Also, Karl-Anthony Towns, this is a much more somber note, but COVID-19 related. It was apparently both his parents' wedding anniversary, would have been their 30th wedding anniversary, and his mother's birthday just the other day. And so he posted a really heartfelt message on both Twitter and Instagram about his mom and his parents. There were a number of NBA players, Zach LaVine, most relevantly, I guess, as a former Timberwolf, who responded. And obviously a really tough time. Remember, Towns, after his mom became ill, had posted that emotional video pleading with people to take things seriously, to stay home, to social distance, etc. His mom ended up passing away. And actually, before she even passed away, Towns had donated $100,000 to research at the Mayo Clinic for COVID-19 testing. And I think it was for vaccine trials, or maybe it was just on the testing side, but that was even before his mother had passed away. So Towns was obviously very generous early on during this pandemic, and more recently has been very involved with community efforts, et cetera. So he's had a roller coaster of an offseason, has still been involved on the positive side for the community, despite going through the death of his mother. So obviously thoughts, prayers are with Towns, check out that post. And I think everybody knows how much Towns' mom means to him, based on what we know about that family. And apparently how fantastic they are. So obviously heart goes out to Carl and to his dad as well and the rest of their family. All right. So setting up the clip from the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, it's a great episode. The whole podcast, of course, is fantastic. But the things that they cover related to the Timberwolves that we're going to get into here in just a moment, they actually do a quick win projection based on the roster as of now. They try and project what both Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez can make in restricted free agency. They make their win projection based on assuming that those guys are in the fold for next year. And then also they talk briefly about Josh Okogie, Jarrett Culver, what they can bring to the team. And Hollinger asks the question, do the Wolves even have any starters, any starting caliber players beyond D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns? So it's, you know, he gives the front office a little bit of props too, which we'll hear for what they've done over the past year, obviously walking into a tough situation, especially from a cap perspective. So here in just a moment, we're going to queue up that clip for y'all and we will then react to it immediately after that. All right, without further ado, here's a clip from the most recent episode of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast here on the Locked On NBA Network and their discussion regarding the Minnesota Timberwolves and where they stand heading into this offseason.
All right. Let's go up north to Minnesota.
Yeah, they're really a fascinating outfit. As it stands right now, I mean, they don't have much space. They're going to draft someone this year, but that probably won't change their fortunes much. They got to bring back Hernan Gomez and Beasley in three. Let's pretend that they're on the team.
Okay.
As of right, we can talk about their future free agency in a second, but what do you see this team doing next year if they stay healthy with this cast of characters?
Maybe like 32 and 50.
I might be a little more optimistic on it, especially if Towns can stay healthy all year. I think they actually could be like a really, really good offense, but they're not going to stop anybody. I mean, that's why, you know, their defense is going to be in the 20s. And so when that's the case, it's hard to get much over 500. So, you know, I mean, they could get lucky. I could see them getting the high 30s, maybe low 40s at best. But yeah, 32 and 50 doesn't strike me as like impossibly low either. You know, I see them in kind of that mid to upper 30s range personally. They don't really have many ways. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So much depends on Towns. I mean, he's so by far their best player and is really like one of the most underrated players in the league for me. I think he's really good, even with the defensive questions. Like, I offensively, he's such a beast. He rebounds, he shoots, he can score down low. Just so many weapons.
A commentator on Twitter was like, yeah, how come you didn't mention him as, like, the unfairly maligned good stats, bad team guy? And I think that was a good point. We probably should have mentioned him.
Yeah, yeah. Russell hopefully will try more on defense than he did in Golden State. If he gives them something closer to the Brooklyn version, I think that helps them more than having Andrew Wiggins, certainly. So they got that. They have their pick and roll combo. I just don't think they have any other, like, starters on the team.
Yeah, Beasley showed some things, but he's yet another offense first player. I think Beasley and Hernan Gomez, there's some chance that they could evolve into being decent players, but yeah, and then, you know, Okogie, Culver, with neither of them being able to shoot, it's kind of hard for them to fit in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Okogie, at least, you know, he could be like your defensive stopper. He's really good in transition, but yeah, him shooting in the 20s is a problem.
So, and they're, I mean, I've got them as, you know, only about maybe $13 million in space below the tax, most likely.
Depending on what they play Beasley and Juancho. Yeah. I want to say they have 27 before they pay those guys. And then that.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Sorry. I have to update my luxury tax number for next year compared to, the cap number. But yeah, that's, so they made this trade and, you know, they got these buddies together, Russell and Towns, but a realistic self-assessment of where they are next year is kind of where exactly. So I'm to me, and I think they've done a better job of kind of working around the margins a little bit.
I thought they actually did a really good job of that, in the last year. When, you know, the trade to bring in Beasley and Juancho, the Covington trade, I thought Lehman was pretty decent value. I thought Naz Reid was a pretty decent find for, you know, a undrafted free agent. But like none of that's going to matter until they stack that into higher level, players.
Yeah. They do have two picks in this draft.
We'll see.
yeah.
They get screwed out of that Brooklyn trip.
That's true. Brooklyn, they are trying hard. but that they most likely will keep that, that Brooklyn Lotto protected first that they got, at the trade deadline. So for Robert Covington. Yeah. And then they've got their pick as well. That'll be interesting of, who they like in the draft.
Interesting. If again, another team where it's interesting if one of these pick and roll guards is there and they have to make a decision on that when they already have Russell there.
Oh man, I'm just champing at the bit to talk about the draft, but people aren't interested in the draft right now. We gotta save it.
Hold your fire.
We have a lot of disagreements, actually. It's gonna be fun to talk about that.
Okay.
So, Wancho and Beasley, they're restricted free agents. What are you doing with them?
You have to keep them at this point, I think. I mean, you have this, you don't trade away a first round pick to get these guys and then be like, yeah, you know what? We thought $7.3 million was a bit much. You know, we're not gonna match that. Like, I just don't see that happening. They should be able to get pretty reasonable money on both guys.
What's reasonable to you?
Well, let's say they had to pay Beasley like 12 and Wancho like 6.
I mean, yeah, I'd be very happy with those numbers. It's now, you know, Beasley turned down like 3 for $30 in an extension. Rich Paul knows that they traded a first round pick to get him. He shot it really well in 7 games for the team after having a rough year with Denver. You know, I think like 12, 13 would be fair for him, but I don't know if his representation sees it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then who's the other team that's going to go above that to pay him?
Yeah. Great question. I don't know the answer.
Could be Atlanta. Atlanta has a lot of room. Malik Beasley's from there. They could use, you know, they could use another 2 who can shoot it. Could be. Wancho, I think they'll be able to keep. I don't think they're going to have to fight that hard on that one.
Well, I mean, they have it within their power to keep him or not. I mean, we've also seen Rich Paul with Eric Bledsoe, with Tristan Thompson really drag out the restricted free agent game, threaten to take the qualifying offer. Mm-hmm. Although you can't go quite as long this year, hopefully.
Yeah, right. You
know, 4 months after July, 3 months after July, it's going to resolve itself pretty quickly. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, 3 for $40 for Beasley. You know, maybe someone like Kelly Oubre could be a little bit of a model there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
shorter deal, but maybe a little more money.
That's where I start getting into walk away territory. Even if I'm, you know, it's hard. I mean, you're the T-Wolves again. A team like the T-Wolves, you want to keep the asset if you can, but man, it also hurts when you overpay guys on a long deal. They know.
Yeah, but if it's only 2 years, you know, to pay a little bit more, then you're protecting yourself and they're not doing anything in free agency the next 2 years anyway, just with what they already have in the books. So,
now, if the owner met with him and asked him to play hard, would you give him the max?
Should we move on to the next?
Okay, all right, let's go.
All right, aside from that little dig at the end there from Hollinger, of course, referencing the Andrew Wiggins max extension that Glenn Taylor gave him only after sitting down and looking him in the eye and asking him to play hard. Outside of that, pretty good analysis. I sold it a little bit long there. It was only about a 6-minute segment, but hey, at least there was a solid 6 minutes of Timberwolves talk. So there's a lot to unpack, and that's exactly what I'd like to do. I'd like to discuss their analysis of the Timberwolves. I'd like to spend some time on their thoughts on the win projection, as well as on the, basically Hollinger had some great things to say about Karl Anthony Towns, as well as, basically the front office and where what they've done so far. And then also the Malik Beasley conversation and what the Wolves should do with him in restricted free agency is just a fascinating thing to consider. So I'd like to spend a couple minutes on that as well. So coming up next, that's what we're going to do. We're going to unpack that. I'll give my thoughts on both Hollinger and Duncan's analysis. All right, so we played Hollinger and Duncan's clip from their most recent episode about the Elite Eight teams, and of course that features the Minnesota Timberwolves and as one of the eight teams. So in that clip, they start by discussing a win total. Hollinger's initial thought was the Timberwolves would go 32-50. I think I speak for all Wolves fans when saying it'd be a really disappointing season if they went 32-50. Remember, they weren't much worse than that in the season, the lost season, when the Wolves transitioned from Thibodeau to Saunders at head coach just last year in 18-19. And then this past season, of course, they were trending way better than that. And had it not been for Towns' injury, it really feels like they would have been better than 32-50. So that seems a little bit low. Nate Duncan does say he'd be a little more optimistic. Of course, he said he thought they'd be in the upper 30s, best case, lower 40s. But that if the defense is in the 20s, it's hard to get much above 500. I agree with all of that. I do think that a target this year would be right around 40 wins, and I think that's a realistic target. Could get you into the playoff conversation. Of course, this is all before offseason moves, so they're evaluating the roster now as of the end of the 19-20 season. We don't know if Beasley's back. We don't know if Hernan Gomez is back. We don't know who they'll get in the draft, as Duncan mentions. Unclear whether or not that makes a huge impact next year anyways, but if the Wolves get the first or second pick, I think we all hope that whoever they select will make a big impact. So clearly this is a little different than a true preseason analysis that we'll be looking at in the fall. But as it sits now, I think 40-ish wins is a really realistic target with the upside of getting a little bit above that to try and get into the playoffs. Hollinger has been on record as not loving D'Angelo Russell. They talked about him as a fairly maligned good stats, bad teams guy a couple podcasts ago. We talked about that here on Locked On Wolves. But he does mention that as long as Russell tries more than he did on defense at Golden State, and he's closer to the Brooklyn version of D'Angelo Russell, he's certainly better than having Andrew Wiggins. We talked about that. That's pretty clear. Beasley, Hernan Gomez, they think they'll keep both of those guys. Josh Okogie, of course, is a non-factor as a shooter, but Hollinger likes him as a defensive stopper. That all makes sense. He's probably not a starter long-term. He's more of a seventh or eighth guy who can give you energy minutes in transition. This is my analysis now. Energy minutes in transition. If he can shoot something close to league average from three, then he could be a starter. He's that good defensively and in transition and a solid rebounder too for his size. The other conversation that's really interesting is Hollinger giving Gerson Rosas in the Wolves front office some props on the Covington trade, getting Beasley, getting Hernan Gomez, also signing Jake Lehman at decent value, which is an interesting contract to point out. Of course, that was the sign and trade with Portland. They got Lehman for 3 years at something like 12 or 13 million, which was good value. Of course, he was hurt for much of this year. And then the Naz Reid find. And then Hollinger goes on to correctly say that none of that really matters until they stack that into a higher level. Those are all great fringe moves, including, he doesn't mention this, but we've talked about last offseason signing Noah Vonleh to a vet minimum deal, Jordan Bell to a vet minimum deal, acquiring Shabazz Napier on an expiring contract. Those are all fringe rotation guys that are certainly better than what the Wolves had on their roster previously that don't move the needle for a team that's already not a playoff team, but can be moved for other assets, and that's exactly what the Wolves did. And if the Wolves were to make a jump, those guys would have been a great fit on a playoff roster. The Wolves, of course, started 11-9 and looked like they could be a playoff team. And those guys were part of it as bench players. And so as the Wolves continue to make these moves on the fringes, like a Naz Reid addition, like a Jake Lehman addition, those are guys who could be part of a rotation as bench guys as the Wolves continue to improve the starting lineup moving forward. There's also a long discussion about what the Wolves might be able to keep Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez at in terms of their restricted free agency numbers. Hollinger said if they had to pay Beasley 12 and Juancho something like $6 million a year, that both guys agree that those make a lot of sense. Remember, Beasley turned down 3 years and $30 million last fall in an extension offer from Denver. What would the Wolves have to pay those guys? If you go with Beasley, if you go up to, you know, $13 million, that's probably about right. I think he's probably going to ask for 13 or 14. If the Wolves could get him for 12 to 13, that would be not a bargain, but it would be, that's a deal you do. Hollinger doesn't seem to think that they'll have much trouble keeping Juancho Hernan Gomez in free agency, and something like $6 or $7 million seems about right, as he's more of just kind of like a solid rotation type guy. There was a little discussion about his upside on this podcast. I think he's got the upside to be a starter, basically a starting caliber player next to Towns as a low usage spot up shooter, solid defender, solid rebounder, pretty much solid all the way around. And there's a place for that. And potentially as a starter, if you have a D'Angelo Russell, if they end up adding another scorer, if Malik Beasley, and they find somebody else that can be a little bit more of an offensive factor. And if Hernan Gomez is your worst offensive player on the floor, then you're in pretty good shape. So I tend to maybe think a little bit more highly of him than Hollinger and Duncan do, but overall, the takeaways from this are the props given to Rosas in the front office for where they're at now, the acceptance that they're not likely to be active in free agency in the next couple of years due to their cap space, which, you know, most Wolves fans already knew. And also, I glossed over this in just recapping this, but Hollinger spent a moment really praising Karl-Anthony Towns, and both guys admitted that he should have been included in their unfairly maligned good stats, bad teams conversation a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, that they had on Hollinger and Duncan, because Hollinger actually says he thinks Towns is still underrated because he's that good offensively. And basically, if he just improves a little bit defensively, but because he can do everything offensively, score outside the arc, score in the post, rebound, pass a little bit, he's that good and he's by far their best player. Clearly, D'Angelo Russell is their second best player, but it's really not all that close. Towns is the best player for the Timberwolves, and all he's got to do is show up a little bit more on defense and help drag the rest of this roster to a winning record, and it does seem like he'll get his due as a top 10 player if that can happen this year. So it was good to hear Hollinger acknowledge that. Of course, a former front office executive and somebody who clearly knows his stuff, acknowledged that Towns is a generational type talent. And the sky is still the limit for Karl-Anthony Towns. All right, be sure to go check out that episode in its entirety over on the Hollinger and Duncan feed on any of the places you get your podcasts, all the places that you could get our podcast as well. But Hollinger and Duncan do an outstanding job. They do a great job of breaking down the other 7 Elite Eight teams as well. Hollinger also teases an article he's coming up this week on The Athletic that we'll discuss here on this podcast that has to do with... actually, the Timberwolves are one of the teams that he says he covers and their situation headed into the offseason and how they might be able to build a playoff team around D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, which is something we actually just discussed on Monday's podcast, more specifically related to the defense. But we'll pass along whatever it is that Hollinger says on the Athletic article as well. But keep an eye out for that for this week. Check out the Hollinger and Duncan podcast over on their feed. And of course, we'll see you back here at Locked On Wolves tomorrow. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.